Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the station this morning is Director of the State Division of Agriculture, Arthur Keyes. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Amy.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
The sun's going to come out today, right? And it's going to be a gorgeous, warm farm day, right?
Well, I think I'm very confident when I say the sun's going to come out. I'm gonna stop your sentence right there.
Yeah. Eventually, some point, we will feel like spring and summer weather has arrived. I know I have the pleasure of talking to a number of different farmers throughout my days and in my job, and everyone's a little bit grumpy about the weather right now. I think most Alaskans are ready for it to warm up a little bit. It can come anytime, right?
It can come anytime. Yeah. I've been farming for 15 years, and I've had the pleasure of farming, I think, during a pretty nice time for weather-wise in Alaska.
Yeah.
And I was maybe recently complaining about weather to an older farmer that's been here since the 60s, and he just told me, he said, "Well, Arthur," he goes, "this is normal Alaska weather that you're experiencing."
Yep. It's interesting with social media to see like the memories pop up from years past of this day, right? And I think it was 2014, so 4 years ago, I had posted a picture like sitting on my deck with my lawn was completely green. And it was like a 70-degree day. And so I'm ready for that. So anytime,
yeah,
right?
Me too.
So, Arthur, I've got a whole list of questions for you to get an update from your perspective on agriculture and what's been going on at the Division of Ag, et cetera, et cetera. But since it's my show, I just have to start real quick and remind folks that on June 2nd, we have our next fundraiser coming up. It's our third annual Drink Beer Save Farms Summer Concert with the Ken Peltier Band. Tickets are on sale now at brownpapertickets.com, and we're super excited for the collaboration this year. We've got a ton of great sponsors that have thrown in some money for us, and we're going to partner with the Future Farmers of America to provide some food at the event for raise some money for them. So anyways, June 2nd, a couple Saturdays away. I just want to remind folks to get their tickets soon and join us there on that Saturday. So that's my little shameless plug, right? So the last time we heard from you, Arthur, was the week of Alaska Ag Day. You happened to call in. Can't remember who was here with – oh, it was the Valley Garden Club folks, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And you were listening and you called in and reminded us that Alaska Ag Day was coming up and Drive Your Tractor to Work Day was coming up. So tell me how that went. How was Drive Your Tractor to Work Day?
Well, I'm just going to start off by saying since the last time I've been here, a lot has happened.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of exciting things have happened.
Absolutely.
And certainly I did call in and speak about that event because I was so excited about it.
Yeah.
Some little history here. You know, when Jay Hammond in the 80s, from my understanding, it looks like he signed the first Alaskan Ag Day.
Okay, good to know.
In the early 80s.
We asked that question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the proclamations have been signed by every governor since. And Jay Hammond, I think he's kind of recognized as doing a lot for ag in the state. A lot of big projects, I think,
sure.
Grand vision. And we could get a whole show about Jay Hammond's vision.
Absolutely.
It's some really cool stuff. But essentially what it comes down to, Alaska Ag Day is early in May. I think it's that time of year to recognize that spring is here and farming is beginning to happen. And so typically your governor's in Juneau when this is going on. The
Absolutely.
Legislative session's happening. And so that's how it rolls. The proclamation signed in Juneau because that's where the governor's at. And Governor Walker, he reached out to me about a week before the proclamation, and he's just like, "Arthur, I have this proclamation on my desk. Do you have any ideas?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Governor.
Yeah.
You know, how fitting, you know?" And so a year ago, I had the Ag Proclamation. We'd received that from Juneau, and there was a lot going on, you know, a year ago, and a lot going on this year too.
Yeah.
But But I just thought, you know, why is it just one day? And so I'm gonna make it a whole week. I think that's what my narrative was that,
yeah.
You know, when that we're going into that. So I drove my tractor to work and I'm like, we're going to start a drive your tractor to work day. And so when the governor reached out to me this year, that's what I told him. I said, drive your tractor to work day. That's a Monday. And he's like, well, let me see if I can do that. And he did.
He showed up and he drove a tractor.
It was amazing. She showed up at 7:30 in the morning and we had 15 tractors. It was a tractor parade, really. I got text messages from people that just saw it and were like, we just saw this and we know you have.
Yeah. What is going on?
Part of this. And so, 15 tractors. We pulled into the Division of Ag and filled the parking lot. I think it was almost, people were almost looking for places to park the tractors when they got there.
Yeah. I got text messages from people, too, asking me, hey, what is going on? Why are there all those tractors parked outside the Division of Ag? And I was like, oh, man, that's cool. I didn't make it. I had intended to drive a tractor that morning, but I didn't. And I felt like I missed out for not being there.
It was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's some drone footage of it.
Oh, cool.
The TV station, KTVA 11, came out and did a news story on it.
Nice.
And it turned into a first-class event.
Yeah, absolutely. And all, again, in celebration of Alaska Ag Day and a reminder to folks I think years ago, one of our pushes was to thank a farmer because, you know, this time of year, it's a little bit difficult to find Alaska-grown products, say, in the grocery store. Farmers markets aren't quite open yet or just opening. There's not a lot available to consumers. So I know in the past the push has been to thank a farmer or, you know, hug a farmer or, you know, just recognize that farmers are out there working their tails off right now so that in a couple weeks we can have all the delicious Alaska-grown products.
Absolutely.
Right?
And so to follow that up, the governor drove his tractor. And then he signed the Ag Proclamation at the Division of Ag. And there was probably 30 farmers in attendance when he signed it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jay Hammond started this. And this is the first time you've ever had a governor come out to the Division of Agriculture with farmers in attendance and sign the proclamation there.
Yeah.
And thank farmers for what they do.
Absolutely. And I think the farm community is super appreciative of Governor Walker's support and attention that he's given to Alaska Grown. You know, when I was all there, that was something that we always said, that if you could just get some champions at the high level, if you could get the governor, if you could get some commissioners to start talking about Alaska Grown, promoting it more, it would make a difference. And I think it has.
He has mentioned it, I think, in every State of the State speech
since
he's been governor. He's talked about the impact of local
food and the economy, et cetera. Well, so since we're on the topic of Juneau and the governor, and let's just jump right into legislation. The session ended. They actually ended the session, right? So congratulations to them for getting the job done. What can you tell us, and this is kind of an unfair question, but what can you tell us about the different ag-related bills that we were kind of waiting on? You want to give us a little...
Yeah, so I think that the big one is going to be the hemp.
Yeah.
Yeah, SB 6 passed. That's a bill that my staff worked on for about a year, over a year, with really Senator Hughes and then Representative Drummond's staff. But Senator Hughes really carried it. Johnny Ellis, when he was his last year in the Senate, he introduced the legislation to legalize hemp, and it didn't go anywhere. And Senator Hughes, she picked that back up and went after it. And, you know, she just looked at it from a standpoint of why is this illegal to grow?
Right.
And so they worked on it. And my staff did a fantastic job, just absolutely amazing. And it's my understanding you're going to have Rob Carter on the show at a later date to talk about it. I think that's totally appropriate. And it's very important to note a couple of things on that. You know, when the hemp conversation began, you know, Rob and I, we discussed it quite a bit. And we discussed it perpetually since it began. Yeah. And you know, his thoughts were that there's going to be 25 people that are interested in this. You know, 25 farmers. So we'll create a very simple program. You know, from his standpoint, our discussions were always simple, simple, simple.
Sure.
What's the simplest, smoothest way to make this happen? And he's like, we'll do a simple registration process. And he goes, we'll do it so simple that we're not going to need to invest a lot of time in this.
Sure.
We're gonna model, take all the work that's been done in Lower 48. We'll grab that, have the attorneys polish it up to where it needs to be to meet legal standards, and happy days is how Rao would put that.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is, as this thing started moving through, we started getting hundreds of phone calls.
Yeah,
a lot
more
25.
Interest. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was personally getting called by farmers asking, you know, I want to participate in this program. I want to be part of it. Okay,
yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And then Rob, I talked to him, and he said, I had 17 phone calls before noon. And he said, if I call each person back and talk for 20 minutes about this, he goes,
my day.
Yeah, my day. And he goes, I can't do that, Arthur. I just don't have time. I mean, suddenly it goes from we actually need extra money to talk to people about it rather than working on making this happen.
You need a staff member focused on it.
And it's very important to note, the way I describe the SB6 is hemp is federally illegal to grow.
Right.
People need to understand that. The state didn't just legalize the production of hemp. What SB6 did is it gave the state a path using the farm bill, language in the farm bill, it gave the state a path to create an umbrella. That's how you need to think about this. An umbrella for farmers to operate underneath.
Yeah.
And if we create this umbrella, a very simple umbrella, farmers operate underneath it, they're legal.
Right.
If they step outside of that, they're in the federal realm of doing a felony.
Yeah.
And so it's very important that we do this right.
Yep.
We are working with attorneys on this. I think the attorney general will get pulled into the conversation.
Sure.
It's a big conversation. As the senator said, she said, Arthur, we are not going to do this and have Alaska's, you know, farmers end up in prison.
No.
For trying to grow a plant that's not – there's nothing nefarious about it.
Yeah. So. Good. That's a good clarification. I'm glad you brought that up. And, I've been talking to Rob ever since it passed, saying, hey, Rob, I want to get you on the show and we can talk about it. And I think we settled for a date in late June just to give Rob more time and the attorney, you know, everyone more time so that when he comes on the show, hopefully he'll have some solid answers and information to share with folks. So we're looking forward to that. Quick reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is the State Division of Agriculture Director, Arthur Keyes. So Senate Bill 6 passed at hemp.
HB 217 passed.
Yeah.
And that is a bill that I think the most important component of HB 217, that is Representative Tarr's bill, is there is a component of that bill that allows agriculture tourism and it protects the farmers from liability if someone gets injured or hurt on their
farm. Huge component. We hear about this in other states that people that get hurt on farm tours, and then the farm is gone forever, right?
Yep. So they sue them out of existence. Yeah. So that's a pretty important bill. Then there's Representative Johnston's bill, which is the seed library bill.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. Oh, SB 163 passed. And that's really the governor's bill, but that is an important bill as well. That is a bill involving DOT, the Department of Transportation. It really fixes a problem that there was with the Alaska farm plates. You'll see.
Right.
In farm communities, you'll see trucks driving around with farm plates. Unfortunately, the way that was regulated or legally implemented is that those farm plated trucks legally were not allowed to be more than 150 miles away from their farm.
Right.
And that's a huge problem. We live in the largest state in the nation, and to travel 150 miles is that's nothing.
It's not far enough.
And to have a central like McKinley Meat and Sausage, for example, it's a meat plant. If you were to use your farm truck to haul your animals from Delta Junction, Fairbanks, or Homer to that McKinley Meat, you'd be outside of your legal limit. And I had farmers telling me, it's no big deal. I don't really care. I'll drive. I'll do what I want. And my comment to them was, that's okay. You can do what you want. Nobody's probably going to ticket you unless you have a problem. You get in a wreck or you do something. And then when it comes to light that you've been operating that truck outside of where you're legally allowed to, your liabilities may change.
Right.
Especially if there was, you know, someone got injured or damage happened. You may find yourself on the bad side of the law.
Yeah.
And so SB 163 changed that. So any farm plate can operate anywhere in the state of Alaska now.
Nice.
It's good government.
Yeah. That was a good fix, a good cleanup.
Very pleased to see that happen.
Yeah. Very good. I think that's about all of the...
I think
pertinent.
That's important. Yeah.
I'm part of the Alaska Farmers Market Association. You know, we're reviving that.
Sure.
Yeah, we had our first board meeting last night, and they were talking about different legislation that could potentially impact farmers markets. Things that didn't go through. Things that, you know, like Representative Tarr's Food Freedom Act, and you know, just we were talking about potential for next year and more positive changes to the agriculture industry through legislation. So that was good. We'll see what we can get done, but between now and the next session. let's see. I was kind of perusing the Division of Ag's social media newsletter and seeing what other announcements you guys had made. And I had just gotten from Johanna Heron yesterday that you guys have announced Farm Family of the Year, that you're seeking nominations for Farm Family of the Year, right?
Yeah, exciting stuff.
Yeah. This would be let's see, it started in 2000, so this will be the 18th. I'm not good at math.
Amy.
Yeah, but this is exciting. Exciting award that's given every year at the state fair, and it's incredible recognition to the family that receives it. So nominations are due now, right?
Yep, get those in.
Yeah, I'm sure there's information on your guys' website about how you nominate a family and what the qualifications are, but it's always nice to be at that reception at the state fair. And
there's food. The governor will be there. The governor, the governor hands the award to the family.
Yeah, and I think one of the coolest parts about that award is traditionally all of the past recipient families come, and it's just, I mean, it's kind of, to put it plainly, the who's who of Alaskan agriculture. All those families that have been here a long time are all there in the same area, and it's always nice to look around and be amongst the greats, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is neat to, and then to find out, you know, there's so much history there and there's so much experience. It's very cool.
Absolutely. I agree. If we could, man, that's just got my wheels turning about, you know, getting some footage of all those families this year at the fair, put that on somebody's to-do list, right?
Yeah. Somebody. Yeah. To-do list with that.
Do you have a mouse in your pocket, Amy? Who's the we that's going to take care of that, right?
Probably the other big news, I don't know if you've been talking much about this, but we actually have a state veterinarian position at the Division of Agriculture for the first time in 38 years, I believe.
That's been kind of a hot topic.
Been a hot topic. It's been very, very interesting conversation.
Yeah. And I think that I think you and I have had this conversation. Perhaps I've had this conversation with another guest that, you know, it's time. It's time for the Division of Ag to have someone focused on the livestock industry. Would you agree it's one of the fastest growing sections of ag right now, livestock?
I think it's one of the biggest opportunities. It's growing. I think with the McKinley Meats and Sausage, what we've seen, the last year the state owned it, we processed a record number of animals, and now it's under private ownership. What is the date today? Today is the 16th?
15th, 16th, 16th.
Okay, yeah. So there is something.
Arthur's excited. If this were live TV, you could see he's excited. What is it?
Yeah, what I'm excited about is that we sold McKinley Meat and Sausage into the private sector May 15th of 2017.
Yeah.
It hit its one-year anniversary yesterday.
Oh, cool.
In the private sector.
I'll have to have Greg back on the show and see how things are going.
You need to have him back.
I assume things are going good. I see, you know, vehicles in and out of there, and I see more Alaska-grown meat available on shelves. And
It's certainly outside of my purview now, but it's open. The bottom line is it's in the private sector. It's open. And from what I've seen, it doesn't look like it'll be closing anytime soon.
Good.
And, you know, to be honest with you, you know, going into this process of moving it, they tried to sell that plant for 15 years, roughly.
Absolutely.
15 years. And they offered it for $1 at one point in time. Just realize the what that means. $1 and no one would take it.
And no one would take it.
Because the fear was it wouldn't be profitable, it'll close. Without the state support, this thing closes. We sold it a year ago and we went into that selling it. People telling us it would close.
Yeah.
It won't make it. It's not going to survive. It's not possible. Couldn't sell it for a buck, and now you're going to sell it for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And
won't work.
And it's still open.
Yeah.
If you and I got a letter from a farmer, a producer here, and he said, you know, it's the first time I'm really starting to make money. Oh. I call them and I want to process animals, and they say, get them in here. And anyway, so what I'm hearing from community is mostly positive. I mean, certainly I'm sure there's some bugs to work out still.
Sure.
I don't care. It's open. It's exciting. May 15th, 2017, we sold it.
Yeah, cool.
So I just got to point that out.
Yeah.
This livestock veterinarian position at the Division of Ag, it segues. It ties into that nicely.
Absolutely.
This industry is going to grow. And
lots of room for growth, whether you're talking about poultry or rabbits. Man, I hear people talking about trying new things in kind of the small breed livestock that, man, it's exciting stuff, right?
Very. You know, Alaskans are importing roughly 156 million pounds of protein a year. And that there's three proteins. There's chicken, pork, and beef. Half of that's chicken. Another quarter is going to be pork. Another quarter is going to be beef, roughly.
Okay.
Those are just rough, you know, shooting from the hip here. It's time to have a veterinarian providing support for that industry. My division gets calls all the time asking about animal feed. You know, sure. questions, yeah. and we have no expertise right now that has that education to provide those answers to people.
Right.
In fact, one of my staff at the Plant Materials Center that works on mining projects, he is the most knowledgeable person we have on animal feed. Because he comes from a ranching background.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of odd. You're sending someone to a mining reclamation person to answer their question, a basic question about feed.
Yeah.
So my hope is that this veterinary position is going to expand the capacity of the Division of Ag and support the industry and help it grow.
And no doubt that it will. No doubt that people will be appreciative of that service and knowledge. And so yeah, that's exciting. And that's jobs too. Let's look at it from that perspective. I mean, someone's going to get a job at the Division of Agriculture and that's a good thing. I'll be watching for that announcement. We'll see what the qualifications for that position will be.
The farmer that sent me the letter, said that, hey, I'm starting to really make money.
Yeah.
His goal, he has a full-time job, works in Anchorage, commutes to Anchorage every day. And he told me, he goes, Arthur, my goal is to quit my job. I'm going to raise enough animals to quit my job, feed Alaskans.
There you go.
And, that's huge.
Yeah.
Keeping those resources here in Alaska.
Yeah.
Keeping the dollars here. So good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited. We're two-thirds of the way through. Another reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is State Division of Agriculture Director Arthur Keyes, and we're just getting kind of an update on industry from his perspective. Changes, new, exciting stuff. What's going on? On that AFMA, that Alaska Farmers Market Association board call last night, we were talking about the growth in the number of farmers markets across the state. And it's that time of year. Farmers markets are opening across the state, right? And they think that they think there'll be 50 farmers markets operating in Alaska this year.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
My office was contacted by another one wanting to start up in Anchorage.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we'll give you the support we can. It's exciting.
It is.
More opportunity for people to grow.
Right. In 2005, when I started at the Division of Agriculture, there were 13 farmers markets in Alaska, and we were proud of that number. That was a lot. And now there's 50, which is just, it's the economics of it. I actually brought that up on the call last night. They hope to get a bunch of economic data, and I said, I think we're going to be blown out of the water when we start talking about the amount of commerce that takes place at farmers markets across the state.
It's going to be tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah. I'm just thinking about that. It doesn't really look like farmers market season outside yet, but I think that folks should, check with their local farmers market, see if it's open yet. And there you would think, man, there's not many veggies available yet, or there's not, a lot of products available. But I think folks would be surprised at what they would find at the farmers market in terms of plant starts and bedding plants and just all sorts of.
Well, Amy, I think opportunity brings more opportunity in this regard. So what I have seen just this past weekend, you have a Point McKenzie farmer, for example, and I don't think you ever saw this when you worked at the division, but they were at the farmer's market, last Saturday.
Yeah.
And they had fresh radishes.
What?
Yeah. They had fresh radishes.
Oh, is this the guy, the High Tunnel guy out in Point McKenzie, Harvest Point Farm?
Harvest Point Farm.
Yeah.
They had fresh radishes, fresh lettuce, fresh greens.
Oh, my word.
Table full of them.
Yeah.
And then last summer I visited Seeds of Change in Anchorage, indoor hydroponic grower.
Yep.
And there they have, again, a full lineup of greens, products. Veggies.
Wow.
So that's only happening because the growth, there's 50 farmers markets because the growth is happening, the demand is there, and that's the coolest thing about farmers. It's the most group of ingenuity people that you'll ever meet.
Right.
And so the demand is there. They know they can sell the radishes, and so they plant them, they grow them, and
I bet they didn't last long at the market.
I talked to Matt Hale and talked to him briefly, and he was all smiles, man.
Yeah, I bet.
So people are giving him a hug, the kind of hug a farmer needs.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Speaking of, products and availability, et cetera, there was a lot of attention surrounding the $5 challenge last year.
Right.
And you guys awarded, it was Safeway who won, the retailer. The challenge itself was actually which retailer would put the most effort into showcasing Alaska grown, right?
Mm-hmm.
I assume we're going to do that again this year?
we are going to do it again this year. We have been contacted by one of the other large retailers. I'm not even sure if I should say their name, but basically saying, you know, it wasn't okay that we didn't win.
Oh, yeah.
What do we have to do to win this thing?
Oh, good.
And so we have actually been connecting them with farmers.
Yeah.
And so they've had conversations that have never happened before in the history of this state about what can you produce for us so that we can get it in our stores. And what's happening is you're seeing, I think, this $5 challenge is unlocking doors. The farmers have never even thought, well, there was right. no even idea that there was a door there.
Yeah.
And it's unlocking doors, and conversations are happening at levels that we've never seen happen before.
Absolutely.
About how to support local agriculture in Alaska, which is local economy, local jobs, local foods. And you've heard me say this before, nothing has a greater impact on the quality of a person's life than the food they eat.
Truth.
And every Alaskan needs clean, healthy, affordable food.
Yeah.
And Alaskan farmers can do this.
Absolutely.
So
cool.
I'm excited. These are exciting times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and, you know, I had somebody say something to me about the Alaska Grown Challenge, and they were just commenting like, you know, there's not that much Alaska Grown available in the grocery store, and the stores are kind of making a big deal about nothing. And I said, flip the switch a little bit and just think of they are showcasing and highlighting the producers that are there. I said, but it gets everyone talking about Alaska Grown, whether you're buying Alaska Grown at a farm stand, a farmer's market, or the grocery store. The $5 challenge has people talking about it.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, it was the Alaska Food Policy Council and the Ken Meter report, you know, years ago that put a number on it that said if every Alaskan spent $5 a week on Alaska Grown products, it would have $187 million impact, right?
Amazing.
And everyone kind of went, there isn't $187 million worth of ag products in Alaska. And we went, no kidding. But if there was, you know, and people could buy $5 worth of Alaska Grown products every week, which I think you could totally do now. I mean, between milk and potatoes and the barley products and now all the value-added products we're seeing.
Yep.
I mean, there's just so much opportunity. $5 a week is you can do.
You can do it. And I think, you know, if I'd been there, if I'd been director when someone had said, well, there's not 100, and I would have thought that too. I would have probably said that.
Yeah.
There's not $187 million yet in Alaska.
Yeah.
Grown in Alaska. I would have said yet.
Yet. Right.
We have a goal now. Now we have a goal.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Good point.
Let's grow more. Let's grow more.
Yeah. Let's grow more.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that just kind of is a nice little segue into what, you know, Alaska Farmland Trust is trying to do, protect that acreage, that soil, so that more farmers can get into the industry. I was explaining to that to someone, to a marketing person the other day. They kind of said, well, I don't really understand the importance of the conservation easement. I don't, you know, I don't, help me understand that. And I said, well, there was a young person, a young farmer in the room, like a 20-something. Who's wanting to eventually buy her own farm in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of looked to her and I said, what do you think? And she said, I'll never be able to afford to be a farmer in Alaska if we don't permanently protect this acreage. I'll never be able to afford it. So,
can I tell you something kind of interesting?
Yeah.
In this job, I've gotten to meet commissioners, directors, and secretaries of agriculture from all over the country.
Yep.
And the commissioner of agriculture in Connecticut, Steve Ravicki.
Yep.
His Department of Agriculture is the farmland preservation organization.
Yeah.
They preserve and protect farmland, and they do it under the recognition that this is important for their state to be able to produce food.
Yeah.
And they have protected thousands of acres.
Yeah.
The Department of Agriculture.
Something for us to shoot for.
I think they've protected tens of thousands of acres in Connecticut.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
Arthur, thank you for joining me on Ag Matters this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you in here and give an update on what's going on.
Thank you for having me, Amy.
All right.
Good to
see
you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.